we're going to start with Genesis 1 this morning.
Yay!
You didn't think we'd ever get here. But guess what? I wanted to make sure you knew who God was. Since the first three words is in the beginning, God.
Yes.
He was in the beginning, and He created. And notice, I sent out you a question. What is God creating? You know, most of the time when we look at the beginning of Genesis, we think about God just creating our earth. But it says here, God created the heavens and the earth, the whole galaxy. And all of it has a purpose that I hope that we can understand a little bit more clearly as we go through here. And then what was the description of the earth? It's formless, it's empty, it's darkness, and it was over the surface of the deep. And so it was nothing, it's black. First thing you need to see here besides in the beginning God is God is light. Where God is not is dark. I don't care where it is, spiritually, physically, a galaxy or any other thing. And so we need to remember that Jesus is the light of the world. He is our light. He is our life. And so we need to remember that. And so when it says it's darkness and formless and empty, there was nothing there. Creation is to take nothing and make something. We can take something and redesign it, but we cannot create. Only God can do that. Yes?
Was the water there?
It describes there's water there.
Yeah. But and I thought water is formless.
Well, I don't know. Good question.
It does say that.
But God was before everything. So if there's water there, He put it there. He may not have thought we needed to know that He put water there, but
the last sentence of that paragraph, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Some waters, God can take care of it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to, that was one of the most important things I wanted you to see. The Holy Spirit is at work in the beginning.
Yes.
That Jesus is in the work in the beginning.
Yes.
God the Father is in work in the beginning because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You've got God, you've always got all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you got that, you learned it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And then in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Jesus, right?
Uh-huh.
That's good.
There's also God.
God was the Word.
Jesus is God. Holy Spirit is God.
Yep.
Anytime that you talk to the Holy Spirit or about Him or with Him, all three are God because it takes all three to be God.
Mm-hmm.
You have passed the first month of study. You did learn something. You thought we was just lost off in the Psalms. No, we were trying to get it through your mind that God is all three.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, and it's, they're already there. If they're already there and he's going over the water, we don't have to worry about that because our beginning begins in them. There are going to be a lot of questions we will not answer because we have not enough brain power to understand who God is. Yes.
It says heaven's plural. I haven't heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently there's like three heavens. Apparently like the heavens of the cloud. All of that. So is that what they're referring to as heaven's plural?
If it's got anything to do with the sky looking up from us, that's heavens.
Okay.
The Jewish speaking is always the heavens is what is visible from the earth. And even, in the heavens was the star. In the heavens was God. In the heavens. And it's beyond, that's another one of our beyond our comprehension things. You get into the New Testament and Jesus, when they're talking about the Holy Spirit and they ask Him about it, He said, you see that tree out there blowing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He says, you know that the wind is moving it, but you can't see the wind. He said, that's like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's working constantly in our lives, through our lives, in this earth, for us completely because He is the one that is working with us now because He was given to the whole world on the day of Pentecost. So His presence in this world is going to make a difference. We will not be able to see Him, but we will be able to see what He's doing. Those are very good comments that enlarges our thinking a lot. Yes, Shannon?
My Bible says that the book starts with the creation of the universe.
Uh-huh.
And which the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
all the other planets,
mm-hmm.
would be in this whole.
Yeah. everything that we can see and are aware of, and of course we've seen a whole lot more with the space age when they've shot this stuff up in the air, and they know that there's no end to it. It just verifies what God said to begin with. And also I was listening to a science, you know, I've got off on this NOVA science programs, and there was a scientist, and someone asked him yesterday, he said, can man survive on any of the planets or any of the stars or any place that we have seen and looked into? He said, no way. He said, those are for our benefit. They're not, you know, this idea that they're going to send somebody to Mars, which is going to take 10 years to get up there, he's going to be dead of old age when he gets there. Anyway, it's ridiculous. Yes.
Several years ago, when aliens were a big issue in the news, you know, mm-hmm. the pastor explained to me, and probably everybody else that's sitting there, that if there were aliens, God would have informed us that there would be aliens.
Aliens is something we've learned from man.
Extraterrestrial, then. We'll put it at that.
Yeah. Anything that you've picked up on TV.
And then he also explained it, the devil wants to confuse you, so the devil created anything that's out there that's confusing you, that's making you think that it's somebody, something from another.
Or he scrambled your brain and you figured it all out.
No, I don't figure anything out.
Well, that's why. It's because if God wants you to know it, he will reveal it to you. Anything that you read or hear or talk about that is not in God's word, it's really not worth the effort.
That's what I told someone. But there are angels.
Oh, yeah, God created angels.
They're real.
Well, and God, there is a heavenly host, but God has revealed that to us. If you want to know what's there, get your Bible out. If you can't find it in the Bible, don't worry about it. You don't have the strength to look into all of that. So we've got through, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
I think that's interesting to put it that way, whoever said this, the heavens and the earth. The heavens could be like the planets. You know, there's several different planets. There's lots of stars. There's lots of stuff. We don't have those yet in this Bible yet. Mm-hmm. Those have not been created. So at that time, it's something that's going to happen. And he's going to tell you how it all happens if you go to your word. Okay, good stuff. As I said, I love it. Woo, here we go. Okay, and so, and there's nothing there, but the Holy Spirit is working. That tells you that God, number one, God is present. The Holy Spirit he's always busy. He's always working. He's working on you. He's working in you. He's working in this world. He's constantly working. And his presence is constantly making sure that God, who he is in control and it's sovereign, and he is always busy. Then it says here, it was hovering over the waters. I like that. It's just talking about his presence. He hovers over you. He hovers in you. He hovers over the church. He hovers over everything because he is in control. He is God. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And that was the evening, and that was the morning of the first day. Remember, 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 these are God days. Day 1, 2, 3 are God days. There is no time limit with God days. He says day, or you can say step, or the first thing he did. But the way that he is putting this is as days. And so when people see days on this first creation, they think that it is the 24-hour day. It is not. That is a God day. Because God, and when he says there is light, he is introducing that Jesus is present. You remember in John 1 that he is in the beginning, he was the light, and he was the creator. And everything was created by Jesus and through Jesus. So we see the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's a gift to Jesus. You read Colossians 1. Anyway, I liked it real well when I got to looking at that. It's John 1, Colossians 1, 1 John 1. Every one of them talks about Jesus as the creator. That way you don't have to think, well, whereabouts was it? No, it was in 1:1:1. He knew we were simple. We had to have things very well lined up. So light is there. God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus is all there in the beginning. And then it goes on to say, and God said, let there be an expanse between the water to separate the waters from the water. And so God made the expanse separating the waters from the water, and the water above it is so that God called the expanse sky. And there was the evening, and there was the morning, and that was the second day. You've got another word here for heaven's expanse. In other words, we have to realize, and the Jewish thinking was that we were like under an overturned bowl, and that all of the earth and all of the heavens is in a circle. You have the earth, and when he separates, you know, when he says the water is above us, we think, I'm seeing water above you. If you see clouds, and they talk about how much moisture we have, and what is all the readings in the morning, that's water. It's up there. And I get so excited and just think about water. God just moves water around everywhere. If you ever flew into Lubbock, nobody flies into Lubbock except people that were born in the high plains, because nobody goes back there. So, if it has been a real rainy season, when you start into that Lubbock airport, you can look and there's lakes and lakes and lakes and lakes and lakes. And I think they're called phyla. And they're called lakes, 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 lakes. And that is the way that God resupplies water to the aquifer. It catches, we had what we call the lake on our farm. In 1941, before most of you were born, we had a flood. And that was most water that we had in our lake. It just completely covered it. It went over the top of the road and everything else. And that was one of those lakes. Anyway, that water seeps down through the earth. It's filtered. And by the time it gets down to the aquifer, it's pure. I was talking to my oldest son about this, and he can remember drinking out of the irrigation ditch. He said that was the best water I ever drank in my life. It was cold, it was pure, and it was because God had filtered it all the way down from the surface, all the way down into the aquifer that runs across here. And so we've got that going on. There are more rivers underground than are on top of the ground. Underneath what's going on here is a lot of stuff. It's either rivers or it's caves with rivers in it. You know, we've got caves here, and some of them had blind bugs in it, and you could not build a whole thing without it. Somebody worry about the blind spider until they got that taken care of. And so you've got caves, and some of those caves have deep, deep rivers in them. And the water in those rivers are pure because they've been filtered all the way down. And then you get out here and you don't realize it, especially if you're on the ocean, but all the time out on the ocean, God's going, and he's picking up water and he's taking it up here and he goes, and it turns into clouds and it turns into moisture, and then he rains it back down again. This rain and this water is constantly supplying all of our needs if we won't build too much and everybody take a bath at the same time.
Yes.
I see all these houses built around me, and I think, oh, Lord, they're all going to take a bath. And I'm not going to have any water to drink. And so it's not that God has not supplied, but just think of all the stuff that's going on. And his water is fluid, and then also in the bottom of the ocean are jets of springs coming up. There are rivers in the base of the ocean. Also, there's what you call the paths in the sea. If you get into a certain path coming from England to America on a ship, you'll go a whole lot faster in these paths. It took us as people in our intelligence until we get into the 1900s before we figured that out. But the whole Testament talks about the paths in the sea. There is so much going on in this universe all around us to take care of us. It'll blow your mind if you think about it. And it's perfect. And perfect harmony, perfect balance is what he is always after, is getting everything balanced, even me. What a challenge. But that's just the way it is. But when he talks about this is exciting, that we see the light and goodness, and that you have to realize every time after this, when he talks about darkness and he talks about light, he's talking about Jesus and he's talking about sin, you have to have a contrast. And it's not that he created darkness, it was already there. He created light which was, or he brought light in, and then he will create little lights like that. And so, from now on, remember, he's teaching us before he ever gets any past the second step in creation. Watch it. Always look for the light. Mentally, spiritually, and physically, it works that way. So we got through day three. Okay. Any questions? Let me see what I had here.
I have a question.
Okay. Yes.
What does it mean by beginning?
It means it was not there before.
Okay. Not in the beginning. But it's like he never was not.
No. That was in the beginning. That's our beginning.
It's the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. It's, yeah, he's talking about creation. He's not talking about himself.
Right, right. And so we don't know if creation of the heavens, and we don't know if it took a day or a million years. And I'm just amazed at all of this.
God's amazing, honey.
It's a long time. But I don't know what I've seen now.
Well, the Holy Spirit got hold of you, girl.
He did. One other thing.
Oh, okay.
On this light thing.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Adam was going to fall.
He knows everything.
He did. Yeah, he does. And he commanded the light to shine before Adam received his breath of life.
Just don't have anything to do with Adam.
Yeah. Well, but he commanded his presence, his light.
Mm-hmm. Well, that always has to be before anything else.
It
that's God.
Or we don't have a chalice.
No.
We don't have a chance.
No.
That,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we got that settled. Yeah.
Like that.
And that's important. You know, that you have science, well, it's been here many years. You look at it two different ways. With the next step, let's go to the next step here. In verse 6, and there will be an expanse. It goes on about that. And God called the expanse. Now then, let's look at 9. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry yard appear. And it was so. All of a sudden, when we're talking about creation, it's covered in water, and the earth is going to raise up from the out of the water. And he's going, I love the way it talks about in Job. He said that, he said, the water, you go there and you stay and you don't come back. That's put in language we can understand. That's the ocean. And I've been reading a whole lot about volcanoes. And just think about them. You talk about banging, big bang. You just think about volcanoes maybe all over the earth at that time going off. Because we know, we figured that out, duh. That, like Hawaii, is all due to volcanoes that came up out of the sea. There is a rim which they call the Ring of Fire. It's all the way around the ocean areas down in the lower part, and all the way around there are susceptible to volcanoes going off constantly. Yep. And something that I just absolutely blew my mind, and I have got to talk to somebody that can explain this to me. We had the team that had gone to Norway, and they were showing about all these big tubes and things coming up into the church there that was supplying their heat. Do you know where the source of their heat is? From the volcanoes.
I was in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have some explaining on that. I know that if we drill down, we hit water. But if they drill down, they hit magma. Yeah. And how in the world is that something that Norway has done, and it supplies all the heat as a nation? Or do they? I've got to have that explained to me, because I can't figure that out.
I'd be afraid of heat.
Yeah. I can understand it, but I don't know how they did it. But I thought that was absolutely awesome. Their source of heat comes from the magma, so that tells me that all of Norway probably was built by volcanoes. Just like Hawaii. And they're kind of, you know, they're kind of out in the ocean like that. So when you talk about what God's doing, when he says, I separate the earth from the waters, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yep.
Yes.
This part, when it says that he pushed the earth up, that explains all of the mountains and stuff that we see that have those slates and lines running this way and that way.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you're going to have layers.
Yeah.
So, and God can do that in just a minute. Or he could have done it over what we would consider millions of years. I don't know. I just know he did it. But don't let these things about science say, well, I can't understand. I can't believe in God because I can see this all happening and this was in 1 week. No, we ain't got any time in here yet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get that all figured out, you're going to be real crazy. These are God days. Mm-hmm. And however he did it, he did it. But I know that the surface of the earth is continuing to change. Another thing I read the other day, or I was informed by the NOAA, that Hawaii is gradually going back to the sea.
I used to live there.
Well, it's not going to sink in your lifetime, honey. But there was Hawaii, and when we had the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the next big island over was called Midway. Midway has nearly gone back to the sea. Only thing left of Midway is a sandbar. So this earth is still changing. God is still working at it. And it can, the more you know, the more you know, the more you know, you don't know.
Sometimes I don't know, but it's really not still, it's just always. Mm-hmm. And always will be.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway,
I just get so excited learning so many things. I think, and I haven't got enough time. I thought, well, God will show it to me later. Anyway, so we have here that it's still, we don't still have any time here. God has not created earth time yet. So how much God time we've got in this day, it's just for us to know that it is steps. The first step was this, the second step was that, the third step is this, and so, but there is harmony. This had to happen before this had to happen before this had to happen. And everything is very, very, very perfect because God's working. And he said, okay, so we in 9 here, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let the dry lands appear. And it was so, that's easy to read, but man, there was a lot going on. Then God called the dry land ground, land, and they gathered the waters together in seas, and he said it was good. Everything that he sees, he knows this is just like he wanted it. It's good. Very good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruits, and fruit trees. Seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bears fruit. I think it's interesting right here that we just have mentioned the trees that bears fruit. But we look at fruit as what we eat. And also you need to know that chapter 1 is an overview of creation. Chapter 2 is details. We're going to shift into chapter 2 in a little bit because it has to do with all this stuff here. Anyway, he says here that God called the dry land, and then he called it, and then in 11, and said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit, with seeds in them according to their various kinds. If I have a coconut, it's because there was created in the beginning a coconut. And that seed has continued through the years. You know, every once in a while they'll get into an old cave or something and they'll find seed in there that's been in there 2,000 years or more. And they wonder what it is and they plant it and it grows because the life is in the seed. And that's what God created right here in the beginning. If you want to have life, it has to be in the seed. Think about that. It has to be in the seed of vegetables. It has to be in the seed of flowers. It has to be in the seed of trees. It has to be in the seed of fish. They call them eggs. It has to be in the seed of animals. It has to be in the seed of humanity. And a seed, if you're going to have more people, you're going to have seed planted from the male to the female, and that's the way you're going to get more people. And this brilliant idea that we do not need each other as male and female, it's going to be interesting, you know, when we wake up one of these days and there ain't no people around here because somebody forgot to plant seed. Everything that God has done is perfect, and anything that we try to change will not last. If you don't remember anything else, remember seeds. Also, I think it's interesting that the whole world, you know, you think about here, he created one tree and he went, burr. No, he created these trees all over the ball of this earth at one time. And how come us to know that most of the deserts were forest at one time? It's because that's where you find more oil than anywhere else. And after years and years and years in these trees down deep, it's where you have your oil fields. Arabia and all of that sand that we see there at one time was a forest. Since my source is out of the high plains, we lived on a farm. 10 miles across this way was sundown, 12 miles was level land, 14 miles was Rumsfeld. Anyway, when they discovered oil, 10 miles across at sundown, that is one of the biggest oil fields in America. It was called the Slaughter Oil Field. And when they started drilling holes and, you know, and things, they didn't have anything to do to take care of that extra gas, and there were flares. And on my farm, we could look west, and it was just solid fire because of the flares at night. There is not a tree out there that is not planted. We don't have any trees out there. And so at one time, 10 miles that way from my house was a forest. And as a child, I would have been so happy because I wanted to be like Tarzan. And that way I could swing through the trees. That was my goal in life. I was very brilliant, really, really brilliant. Anyway, but this earth was completely covered with every kind of plant we have today because the seed that we have came from God. And that seed, I saved 3 peach seeds. They're not real lovely. And just looking at them, you'll think, that could be a tree. God is still creating. And everything has to be perfect according to his laws and his creation, even for us to get there where we could plant a tree and get another one. God is so big. Creation is so big. So now then, we get down to, in my Bible here, I've got written out by each paragraph. Day one. Day two is here is atmosphere. Day three is vegetation. And then we go down here. And by 14 is time is created. Time according to how we as human beings govern our day. So listen up if you want to know about time. It did not exist before the fourth step of creation. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Do you get it? That's when days, seasons, and years were set up. And once they're set up, we do not change. Thank God fall's coming and we know it's coming. I hope all of you that said, yeah, I really like hot summers, have enjoyed this summer. I have not. I think if I can live through August, I can live through anything. And then listen to this. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. And then he made 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. And God set them into the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. Do you know why stars are up there? So we can see how to get around at night.
Yep.
God was very thoughtful. You know, when the moon don't come up and it's really dark, that was another thing. Living in the high plains, I didn't have electricity until I was 10 or 11. There was no lights. I can remember one night we had walked over to the neighbors and we was walking back, and it was one of those meteorite showers. And if you've ever been anywhere where there is absolutely no light, it seems like the dome of the stars are closer. You can just reach up and touch them. And then you looked up and there were just ting, 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 ting. Thank God I was born before electricity. That I got to see what they're talking about here.
There's a lot of sky.
Yes, Connie.
Thinking about the stars that God created, I've always loved this verse in Psalms 147, verse 4. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. And I think if he knows the names of all the billions of stars, think how well he knows us. He calls us by name. That verse just was
me. Yeah, read Psalm 6 too. You want to in your spare time. It's just talking about the glory of the heavens. And that's what I want you to understand, is what the powerful God is. That's why I started. We need to know who God is. But to know he knows each one of us individually by name. He loves us. He is caring for us individually, always present. If that don't encourage you, you've slept through the last 6 weeks, I think. Maybe. Whatever. But I know you haven't. You've been here because I saw you. And it is, that's why I just love, you know, every time I get to teaching, I get so excited and hard to stand.
Psalm 6.
So then we get down here, and it said it was so, and he makes the two great lights and the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to burn. Also, it's the sun and the moon that directs gravity. And in there, I saw home. I know y'all are so glad to hear about what all I see on TV. But last night I saw a special on Venice and the rise of the water. They're really afraid they're going to lose the whole Venice because they have built giant gates to block the water from coming in. And the main time that they have to worry about Venice being just completely inundated with water is when the moon and the sun line up and the gravity is so strong and the tides are so high, they can wash it away. You're going to learn more here than you want to know. I taught Texas history 1 year for 6 weeks to eighth grade kids in Liberty Hill, and I said, you're going to learn more about Texas than you won't know, because I've lived through most of it in our history book. Anyway, so he made the stars, and God set them in the expanse. And when she's talking about stars, just think about the Milky Way. You know, if he just knew the name of their stars in the Milky Way, that'd be enough to blow our mind just in pondering that. Mm-hmm. And they governed the day and the night and separated from the darkness, and God saw it was good, and there was evening and morning of the fourth day. Now we have time as we know it on earth, but it was not until the fourth day of creation. So what happened before that is in God's days, and he knows, and he can do it, but he did, and it's perfect. And now then he says in 20, let the waters teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the sky. So he created the great creatures of the sea. And I like to put in here, he great creatures of the sea. It's more than fish. And we know that now. And so everything that's in the sea was created by God, and he put a seed in every one of them. And if we've still got them, it's because they have come through the seed of reproduction all this time. And which the waters teemed according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful. This is talking about you're going to spread. Increase in number, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And that was the evening, and there was the morning of the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. Now then, I want us to turn to, I'll introduce this, we'll see how far we get. Turn to Genesis 2 and start in verse 4. Now this is details of what was going on in chapter 1. It says, this is an account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, and the Lord made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub or field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant in the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. Reason here that he does not create some things until he has man here is important. But streams came up from the earth, and it's showing again that there's all different stuff going on here, watering the whole surface of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. Notice, man alone. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees growing out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river watered the gardens flowing from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. And the name of the first is Pison, and the winds through the, and it winds through the entire land of Havilah, which were where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, amazing resin. Onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon, and it winds through the entire land of Cush. And Cush happens to be in Africa. And one of these rivers they do not have evidence of yet, but they think it may be under the Mediterranean Sea and that it ties into the Nile. So when we think about the garden, I thought it was a garden about the size of my backyard. Yeah. It was all over this area because these rivers are all over this area. And you know, we still have a real dominant Euphrates because that was what we was having fight over there and ran in there. The name of the third river is the Tigris, and it runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth is Euphrates. Now the Euphrates, you know, is up north of Jordan and all in that area. And the Lord took the man and he put him in the garden and to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any other tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone, and I will make him helper suitable for him." And now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field. Now see, I was coming back here on the creation of the beast, because it's something that God has a special gift to man before woman is ever created. All right, pick back up here. "And the ground and all the beasts of the fields and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called them, each living creature, it was its name." I have thought about this, about God and man sitting in and laughing about all these animals. And here comes a giraffe. What do you think about this animal? Adam named all the animals. And he did this because God knew they were not suitable for him as a helpmate, but man didn't know that. So much what going on is God's trying to get through our thick head that I'm God and I know best, but you have to be told because you have the reasoning power created in you from me. Anyway, so the man gave names to all the livestock and all the birds in the air and all the beasts of the field. How would you like that occupation? Evidently, he had a real good mind. I took biology, and I just had to name a few, and I thought, I don't think I'll ever find out. Yeah, anyway. And so, but for Adam, there was no suitable helper was found. Adam had to know there wasn't a bird, there wasn't an animal, there was not anything suitable like him. What's the first thing he said about Eve? "Bone of my bone and flesh of my body." I will call her woman. She was taken out of man. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and he closed up the place in the flesh. And then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he was taken out of the man and he brought her to her. And then the man said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And he called her woman, for she was taken out of him. That is where we're going to stop, because we're going to talk about the creation of man and woman next time. But God has always wanted to be co-worker, us with him, and taking care of this earth. Notice, Eve is not here when God said, "Don't you eat out of those two trees. Leave them alone." So it was up to Adam to teach his wife, and he did not do a very good job.
No, he didn't.
Father God, pain right now, and so many of our loved ones are going through so much pain also, Father God. We just place all these needs in your hands. We love you. We trust you so much. We know that you hear our hearts. We know that you know every single need of these women that love you and praise you so much. We are so thankful that we get to gather together and that you just have the Holy Spirit lead Miss Jean to lead us to your word. May we keep it in our hearts as we go through the day. May we know that you are with us. May we know that no matter what circumstances comes our way, you are there, right in the middle, holding us, tightly. Father, don't let go. We just all need you so much. There's so much pain in this fallen world. Allow us to be a light into this dark world. Thank you for Jesus that came to be our light. Thank you that he came to be our salvation. Thank you that for that sacrifice that you gave us all to know that you are there and that you love us and that you are with us through it all. Be with us, Father God. Be with those ones that are jobless, the ones that are hurting, the ones that just need you so much. And some of them that have not listed here, you know their hearts. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Father God. We just love you and praise your name. And it is in your Son's Jesus' name that we lift you, Father God, and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.